This morning, I want to talk about some facts that you need to face for your future. You know, a lot of times we have to face the facts. It's uncomfortable. We may not like it. It is bothersome. But there are times in life where we have to face the facts. Sometimes that happens at work. Sometimes that happens at school. Sometimes that happens in our home life. There are just certain facts we have to face. And with regard to our future, I want to look at 10 facts that you're going to have to face regarding your future. And the sooner we do it, the sooner that we can have a right relationship with God. Thank you for being with me on the Let the Bible Speak program this morning. And I hope that our study will be profitable. We're going to be using as our text Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, where Jesus talks about two men who died and some things that take place upon their death in the afterlife. And it's a sobering thought, and Jesus gives us some facts that we need to face. We live in a world today where people put off the inevitable, they delay, they procrastinate, they drag their feet, they don't want to deal with truth, with reality, with facts. They want to live in a fantasy world rather than in a factual world. They want to live in a make-believe world. They want to live in a world where they control the narrative, where they're always right and things are fine and rosy and everything is good, when in fact they are not facing reality and truth and facts and what is real. And we've got to get out of that mode, friends. The devil gets us into a movie world or a TV world or a fantasy world, a make-believe world, and he gets us to live in that kind of world so that one day when we die, it'll be too late to be right with God. So we need to wake up and we need to face the facts. Jesus has been talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. They didn't like him going and saving sinners. This section in the book of Luke runs from Luke 15, verse 1, all the way through chapter 17 and verse 10. And the setting that we're looking at this morning is in chapter 16. It's in this setting of Jesus wanting to save sinners, but he is approached by scribes and Pharisees, Jewish religious people who believe that they're already saved. And some of them, chapter 16 and verse 14, are lovers of money. And because they are in the audience, these people who are lovers of money, Jesus wants to talk about a certain rich man. He loved his money, and he died, and he was not ready to meet God in the judgment day. So that's the setting of the rich man and Lazarus. I want to read it for you this morning, and if you have your Bible, let's read it together. We're going to start in Luke 16 and verse 19. Luke 16, 19. And let's see what we can learn about facing the facts of our future. Now there was a certain rich man, and he had been clothed in purple and fine linen, faring sumptuously every day. And a certain beggar named Lazarus was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Yea, even the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and that he was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and sees Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime received the good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now, here he is comforted, and thou art in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a gulf fixed, that they that would pass from here to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. And he said, I pray you therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one go to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if one rise from the dead. Let's talk about these two men, the rich man and Lazarus, who died, and the things that went on in the afterlife that Jesus tells us about. This is not a parable. This is not a made-up story. This is reality. And we need to face the reality. So what are the 10 facts, friends, that you and I have to face regarding our future? Well, number one, we must all die. If Jesus does not come in our lifetime, we must all die. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, then comes the judgment. Number one, you must all die. We're going to die. And you need to face that fact. You're not just going to live on forever. There are some people that have learned how to live long lives, even lives over 100 years old. I hear that some in Japan live to be 110 or 115, maybe even more. But eventually they die. You're going to die. I'm going to die. And that's not going to be the end of it. Somebody says, well, that's no big deal because that's going to be the end of it. It's not. Notice in this lesson that Jesus is teaching, he's trying to teach us we live on after we die. There's another life. There's a life after death. And we have to face God at that time. And we have to face God in the judgment day. So we're all going to die. And you cannot avoid that. You cannot escape that. There's no anti-aging cream or anything else you can put on that makes you live forever. I'm glad that we take care of our health so that we can live as long as we can, but we're all eventually going to die. So fact number one, you're going to die. Fact number two, you have a soul, and I have a soul that lives on after we die. Notice that Jesus said that this rich man died, and Lazarus, the beggar, he died. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and that he was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, he lifted up his eyes. Notice that he's still living. There's a person. And because we have a soul in us that lives on after we die, we're going to live on in an afterlife. Notice in our reading that these men, they see things, they speak, they say things, they can remember. One of them is crying out. And he says later, send someone. These are verbs showing that these individuals are still living. They're conscious. They are conscious. And they can act and speak and see and remember. There are some denominations that teach that once you die, you're completely dead. You're no longer conscious. You don't have a soul that lives on after you die. Of course, the atheist believes that, but even some religions believe that. That's not true. And we have a body and we have a soul. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, when he was sending out his apostles to preach, don't fear the one who can kill the body, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We have a soul and we have a body. The apostle Paul talks about that in some of his writings. We have a soul and we have a body. We have an outward man, a physical body, and an inward man. It's our heart, our mind, our soul. It's what allows us to live. And the body apart from the spirit and the soul are two different words for the same entity. One focusing on our mind and our heart and our thinking, the other one focusing on our life, soul and spirit. But when the soul or the spirit is separated from the body, that's death. James chapter 2, James talks about that. The body is put in a grave, or it may not be put anywhere. Some bodies are thrown into the water, left on top of the ground. Hopefully, there's a proper burial where a body is put under the ground, but not necessarily. But that spirit goes on to be in a place, and we'll talk about that place in just a minute. But fact number two, you have a soul, and you will live on after you die. And number three, the third fact you need to face is that soul of yours, you will live on in a place called Hades, where there is suffering, a place of suffering and a place of comfort, depending upon your relationship with God. When you obey the gospel and are baptized into Christ, having repented of your sins, having confessed that Jesus is the Christ, and you live a faithful Christian life after that, you die, you're going to be in a place of comfort called Abraham's bosom. Bosom is something that is close to your side. So it's a place of close fellowship and comfort and consolation and care and love, one's bosom. So a place of comfort. But then there's also a place of anguish and suffering. So Hades has a place of comfort. It has a place of suffering, and they are separated. We'll talk about that later. But that's where you will go on, in Hades. This is not hell. Gehenna, hell, that's the place for the devil and his angels and the wicked after the judgment day. It's not heaven. That's for God and the Holy Spirit and Christ and the righteous of all time and holy angels. That's after the judgment day. Heaven and hell are after the judgment day. This is Hades. This is the place you go before the judgment day to await the judgment day. But it has two places, comfort and suffering. And we begin to see that God has a plan for us after we die. God has a reward. He has a place and a plan and a reward before the judgment day and after the judgment day. And notice that there's just two places. Some religions have three or more places, or two or more places for the righteous. One place for the righteous, one place for the wicked. So there's a place called Hades, a realm. And that place is confined, and people don't come out of that place. We'll make a point on that later in the lesson. When we go there, we stay there until the judgment day. There's no roaming around, coming back to the earth. There's no going to other kinds of places, but a place called Hades. Paradise or comfort for the right, suffering and anguish for the wrong. So number three, fact number three, there's a place of Hades. Number four, and closely related to the point that we just made, some will be lost and some will be saved. Not everybody in life, friend, is going to be saved. Some people say, well, all roads lead to heaven and all lifestyles lead to heaven and eventually everybody goes to heaven. That's just not true. And you've got to face the fact that you are traveling either on the road of the saved to comfort and then heaven, or you are traveling on the road as a lost person to suffering and then later hellfire. There's just two roads. Jesus talks about that in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. A broad way that leads to destruction and a narrow way that leads to eternal life. Just two roads. And notice that there are two. Some people say, well, everybody gets saved. No, there are two roads. Not everyone is going to be saved. Some are traveling on that road to be lost. And the reason I bring this up is somebody says, well, the idea of being lost is not found here in Luke 16, 19 through 31. And that's true. The word lost is not used, but remember the setting of this lesson. The setting of this lesson and the occasion of this lesson is Jesus talking to his disciples. And in that crowd are some publicans, scribes and publicans, who are murmuring against Jesus that he was receiving sinners and he wanted them to be saved. And he teaches the parable of the lost sheep and of the lost coin and then the prodigal son. And the idea of lost is found in all three of those. He's talking about things that are lost because he's been coming to lost people. And not only are they lost, but they need to repent. Sinners who repent. In Luke 15, 7, there's joy in heaven over a sinner that repents. And in chapter 15 and verse 10, one sinner that repents. And we're going to be talking about repentance later in today's lesson. But when a sinner repents, they go from being lost to being saved or being found. And even in the prodigal son, he was lost and then he was found, Matthew 15, 32. That's the context of chapter 16 and the lesson that Jesus is teaching here. We're talking about people that are lost, who didn't repent, and those who are saved, those who are right with God. And so a fact that we need to face is some will be lost and some will be saved. Even going back to chapter 16 and verse 13, Jesus said to this same audience, you cannot serve God and mammon or riches. And then in chapter 16 and verse 15, God knows your hearts, that which is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. In chapter 16 and verse 16, he talks about the gospel of the kingdom of God is preached. The setting, friends, of this lesson is that people need to come to God. People need to obey the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom of God in order to be saved. And they need to repent. Sinners need to repent. Chapter 15, 7, chapter 15, 10. And Jesus in this lesson will bring up repentance again, and we'll look at that in a minute. Repent. So the fourth fact that you need to face is that some will be lost and some will be saved. Who is that going to be for you, friends? A fifth fact that you need to face is the physical circumstances that you have now in this life do not determine your eternal destiny. The physical circumstances of your life now do not determine your eternal destiny. What determines your eternal destiny is what I just mentioned. Have you repented of your sins? Have you obeyed the gospel of the kingdom of God? Are you saved and are you living a faithful Christian life? That's what determines your eternal destiny, not your physical circumstances. So, as you keep reading down through the text, you find that the rich man is suffering, he's in anguish, and Lazarus is in comfort, he's in Abraham's bosom. So there's this place of Hades that has a place of suffering and a place of comfort in it for the lost and for the saved. But then notice what Jesus says in this lesson, verse 25. Abraham said, "Son, remember that you in your lifetime received thy good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things, but now," underscore that in your Bible, "but now." Things have changed now. There was once physical circumstances for the rich man and for the poor man, but now things have changed. Now we are on the other side of the grave, on the other side of death. We're in the afterlife. And now, but now, here he is comforted and you, the rich man, are in anguish. So all of those riches avail you nothing now. All of the fine clothing back in verse 19 and your riches and faring sumptuously and your dinners and your nice home, it's now doing you nothing. And so we need to face that fact. People today will, I've got a house and a car and I've got nice clothes and I've got money in the bank and I've got a big, you know, 4K big screen TV and I've got, you know, the latest iPhone 15 and all the latest stuff. You can have all of that and it means nothing when you die. You need to take care of your soul, friends, and make sure that it's right with God, because your physical circumstances do not determine your eternal destiny. Your relationship with God does. Well, let's look at another fact that you need to face. Number six. Number six, when you die, your destiny is fixed and there is no opportunity after death to change it. Your destiny is fixed and there is no opportunity after death to change it. Verse 26, besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, that they that would pass from here to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. You got to face that fact. Somebody says, well, I'll get it all worked out after I die. No, you won't, because there will be no opportunity and ability to do that. You end up in suffering and torment, that's where you're going to stay. You end up in comfort and consolation, that's where you're going to stay. There's no opportunity after death to obey the gospel, to be baptized into Christ. There are religions like the Mormon religion that has baptism for the dead where they try to save people after they've already died. That's not biblical. Our Catholic friends try to get people out of their so-called purgatory by praying and doing good deeds and giving money to the Catholic Church and all of that kind of thing. That's not biblical. That's completely made up. You cannot change, a person that's living cannot change the spiritual status of someone that's dead. They just can't do it. And the person that's dead and living on after they're dead, they can't do anything themselves to change their spiritual destiny. That's a fact you've got to face. And it's a sobering fact. And that's why people don't like the facts. They're sobering. They make us wake up. They make us deal with reality. And so many people want to live in a dream world where I just want to get up every day and sort of in this fantasy dream. And it makes me feel all touchy-feely and good inside. But there's going to be a wake-up call either when Jesus comes again or when you die. And it's going to be a wake-up call, but it'll be too late. It's best to have the wake-up call now, friends. Have it now and face the facts. So, your destiny is fixed and there's no opportunity to change it after death. Fact number seven. While you're living now, you have a free will choice while you're living to make a change and to repent. In verse 27, the rich man says, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place. The rich man realizes, I've got five brothers, and I don't want them to come to this place. They're still living. If you could send Lazarus back, he would talk with them, and they would make a change. That lets us know that as a living person, we have a free will choice while we're living to make a change. And this rich man realized that. He realized that his destiny was fixed. But he also realized that those who are still living, it's not fixed. They have a choice. They can choose salvation over being lost. They can choose comfort over suffering. But that's now, while we're living. And we have a free will choice. It's implied in the fact that their destiny is not fixed right now while they're living. You can make a change. And they can repent. Abraham said, and we'll talk about this in a minute, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one go to them from the dead, they will repent. You see, they can change, and you can change. Fact number 8, you're not going to get any help from the dead. Abraham said, nope, he can't go back. There's nobody that's going to come back from the dead. There will be no help from the dead for the living. There's no ghosts that roam the earth and talk to people and haunt people. God does not bring people back from the dead to try to save people. Fact number 8, there is no help from the dead. Well, where does the help come from? Well, fact number 9, you must hear the word of God. Hear. Let them hear them. And Jesus is talking at a time when the law of Moses is still in force. His new covenant will not come into force until he dies. And so he brings up the fact that they need to hear Moses and the prophets. That's the law that is still in force. But it's the word of God for them, and they need to hear it. For us today, it is the New Testament gospel. It's the law of Christ. That is the gospel that went into all the world and was preached. And that's what we must believe. And we must be baptized. And we must hear that gospel. And in verse 29, hear them. And verse 31, if they hear not, we've got to hear. And faith comes by hearing. And that's how it all begins. And then last of all, fact number 10, it's up to you, friend. It's all up to you. That's the point of these last few verses. It's up to you. You've got to hear the word of God. God's not going to give you some special help from beyond the grave. It's up to you. And you have to make the effort to want to hear the word of God and repent and change. It's up to you. And don't wait until you die. There will not be an opportunity. So the 10 facts you must face in the future. Number 1, all must die. Number 2, you have a soul. Number 3, there's a place called Hades of suffering and comfort. Number 4, some will be lost and some will be saved. Number 5, physical circumstances do not determine our eternal destiny. Number 6, your destiny is fixed and there's no opportunity after death to change it. Number 7, there's no help coming to you from the dead. Number 9, you must hear the word of God. And number 10, it's up to you to make the change. Friends, will you do that very thing? Jesus lays out these facts. Let's face them and let's do what we need to do to obey the Lord and go be with him among those who are saved. If I can help you to do that, if I can help you to study these things more, let's get together and do that. Let's be on the right side of that when it comes time for us to die. Thank you for joining us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.